141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen Smith says it's time for Rangers to go back to basics as Kevin Muscat edges towards the Chinese Super League title. Brendan Rodgers is welcoming the challenge of a new rival manager as fans step up board protests and Premiership action returns this weekend after the international break. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
International break, don't worry about that. Two rubbish performances, and now we're back to the real stuff, domestic football at its intriguing best. What could be more interesting than seeing how Stevie Smith gets on in charge of Rangers on a day when they must win? It's quite simple. They must win against Dundee United. 3,600 Hearts fans going to Kilmarnock. Hearts are 11 points ahead of Rangers. And then on Sunday, Celtic know exactly how the land lies when they kick off against Dundee. Brilliant stuff, Andrew.
I'm not sure many people would have thought that we'd get to the end of the international break and there would still be no permanent Rangers manager in place, but it is the case, Scott.
It is the case. Rangers obviously taking the gamble not to have someone in and maybe work with the team. Obviously, these next four games, massive. I'm looking at it just now. Dundee United at home, Bran away, Kelly at home, Hibs away. Huge faith in Stephen Smith, obviously your B-team manager, while you wait for Kevin Muscat to finish. A huge gamble for me from the Rangers board, and really intrigued to see how it's going to play out.
A relatively quiet international break for Celtic, I would say, but Brendan Rodgers speaking today amidst more fan protests as well.
Yeah, it's not going away. You know, the meeting was held last night in Glasgow by the Celtic Fan Collective. They have put in place a scheme. Not Another Penny is the brand name for that scheme. It means that you do not buy any merchandise. You do not buy anything to eat or drink inside Celtic Park at home games. You buy a match ticket and that's all you do. So it's not going away. It's there until February. The Celtic players have to put it to the back of their minds. Brendan Rodgers has to forget all about it. They have work to do because they're unconvincing. I'll use that word. They're unconvincing. And that includes a meeting against second bottom Dundee.
Well, the international break is over. Domestic stuff is back tomorrow, and I'm sure you've got something to say about it. 0141 951 1025. As usual on a Friday, we've heard from the Celtic manager, Brendan Rodgers. For not as usual, we've heard from Stevie Smith, the Rangers interim manager. So maybe you're interested in what he has to say. 0141 951 1025. We'll hear from both throughout the show, but more importantly, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Any thoughts on what you've heard today ahead of the weekend's action? Get in touch. 0141 951 1025. Let's go straight to the phone, shall we? John is a Rangers fan in Paisley. John, how are you feeling with the football coming back this weekend but no permanent boss in place?
Ludicrous. Absolutely ridiculous. Club's getting run, mate. I don't know who's running that club, but we've got 8 games before he come in and he's left a boy, Stephen Smith. What experience he got as an interim manager? Muscat should be in new if he's going to be the manager. Yeah. And I'm no joking, Hugh, you've got to agree with me. It's absolutely ludicrous. 8 games. We've got a semi-final against Stephen Smith. No disrespect to the boy. He's no go. What experience has he got? I've not been disrespectful.
He won't be there, though.
We don't know that for certain.
Well, if the Kevin Muscat deal is done and compensation is paid to Shanghai Port, then Neil McCann will come in. And by the time Celtic play Rangers on the 2nd of November, Neil McCann will be in charge. A little more respect for Stevie Smith, though. He is a member of the Rangers coaching staff. He happens to be the under-19 coach. It's not his fault. He says himself he didn't expect to be there. But he's an honest pro who played for Rangers. The situation is forced upon Rangers because didn't get Gerrard. Danny Rowe withdrew. Therefore, it moved on to Muscat. Muscat was the last game in town. They had to make sure they got him and they had to accept the complexities that come with it. I fully agree with you, John, that it is a bad state of affairs, but it's the way it's been forced upon 49ers Enterprises because of Steven Gerrard and Danny Rowe.
The broader point, Scott, is that if Kevin Muscat doesn't come in until after the 22nd of November, There is a lot of games in that period. Whether it is Stevie Smith, whether it is Neil McCann, whether it is someone else that takes interim charge, it's not an ideal situation, is it, between now and it's the end of November?
It's far from ideal, and I think I've got to agree with John. I think in terms of how the 49ers enterprises are trying to get this over the line, as Hugh says, he wasn't the first choice. Stevie Smith, he has played for the club, he's taken under-19s, but he is inexperienced in terms of at that level, and the pressures of being on the touchline, having to make the decisions with some of the players who we don't know how good they could be, or could they be worse in terms of, obviously, Russell Martin leaving. I think you look at some of the games, as I said, Dundee United, Brann, Kelly, Hibs, Celtic in the Cup, Roma. It is not easy. And see, on top of that, the fact, as we're saying just now, it could be Stevie Smith, Neil McCann, Kevin Muscat. It's a lot of change for players. So sure. it's very hard to get things across if you're, whether that's winning games, style of play, all the things that go with it. In that space of time,
John,
so a massive gamble for me.
Let me ask you as a fan then, John, you know, once Steven Gerrard said the timing was not right and Danny Rowe then said he no longer wished to be considered, Muscat became the only game in town. So what would you have done under those circumstances?
Well, first of all, right, we don't know why Steven Gerrard, but we've all got a good opinion of why, right? But I really... They should have just have went for somebody that... It's just ludicrous. No disrespect to Stevie Smith, right? But do you think Tavernier nor Orion are going to respect Stephen Smith? I mean, I totally would, but some of them have got egos.
If they respect the club, then they have to perform whoever's in charge.
Well, some of them have been playing recently, they don't respect the club, I can assure you that, and they don't respect us, and the club aren't respecting us. The way they're going at the moment, they're actually treating as if we're daft. And Kevin Freewill bringing his son in as a head of recruitment, it's a 26-year-old boy.
Yeah,
you're more suited to. You could recruit better than he could.
We have to go over Robbie Thirlwell for the moment because it's about a football match tomorrow and subsequent football matches. The situation, I repeat, was forced upon Rangers because of Steven Gerrard, Danny Rowe.
You say forced upon Rangers, but surely some of it is their own doing as well. Yes, you can get turned down by managers, but Rangers have had a decent period, surely. 2 weeks, they've given themselves the maximum amount of time, really, that a club can get mid-season to try and change manager. There's surely got to be some responsibility taken by Andrew Kavanagh, 49ers Enterprises, that they now, 2 weeks later, don't have a permanent manager in the dugout.
I think they put all their eggs in Stevie Gerrard's basket. And when he arrived here from Bahrain, I think it was assumed that the deal would be done. And when 49ers Enterprises assessed the joyful reaction to Stevie Gerrard possibly becoming Rangers manager, then they thought, this is the guy we have to get. He turns it down. For whatever reason, his reasons are now unimportant and irrelevant because it's not happening. Danny Rowe might have been acceptable to some, but certainly not to the majority of the Rangers support. Regardless of that, he withdrew from the race. It then came down to Kevin Muscat and the complexities that go with that situation. Yes, 49ers Enterprises have to take their share of the responsibility, but tomorrow, players have a professional pride, or they should have. Regardless of who's in charge of the team tomorrow, they are paid by Rangers. They're forever trumpeting on about how much they love to play for Rangers. Tomorrow, they have to show professional pride in a Rangers jersey.
John, if you wouldn't want that period of having an interim in until, if it is to be the end of November, what would the ideal scenario be for you? Would it be Kevin Muscat comes in right now? Would it be someone else coming in that can start the job immediately?
It should have been somebody to come in and start right away. It should have been somebody. They've had 2 weeks to get it right. Yeah. And I can understand, ideally, it should be somebody. It doesn't matter. If Kevin Muscat, it's too complicated with Kevin Muscat. It should be somebody that's got experience, is more than capable of running the team. Because I don't think, with Stephen Smith, they disrespect Stephen Smith. They have had a fortnight. I really mean it. I just don't see how they couldn't get... There's not another manager that could come in right away.
And if I say to you, John, who should that other manager have been? What would your answer be?
Who would it be?
Yeah.
Anybody.
Anybody's not an answer.
To find.
And I took Sean Dyche.
He turned it down.
Well, I didn't know he turned it down. Now, why is all these people... Well, I ask a question, you. Why is all these people turning the job down?
My understanding is that Sean Dyche turned it down because the money wasn't big enough.
Yeah. So three people turning our club down. And we're a massive club, not a small club.
Well, Sean Dyche wanted paid on an English Premier League standard, and he wasn't getting it. End of story.
When it comes to Kevin Muscat and the delay, is there a bit of long-term thinking there from Rangers? If they feel Kevin Muscat is the right candidate, then they'll be willing to go through a period of 4 or 5 weeks with an interim staff to then, in their eyes, hopefully get the long-term benefits of Kevin Muscat coming in. Do you see that side of it at all, or do you think it's not worth that period?
Hypothetically, yeah, but there's no guarantees that Kevin Muscat comes and Rangers hit the ground running. I think that's the problem. Obviously, off the back of Russell Martin and the performances we've seen this season, I totally understand why every Rangers fan would want a manager in right now, because look at the last of games. All of them are so important to how the season's going to pan out for them. If it is a case of some of the hierarchy at Rangers are kind of writing off this season and thinking Kevin Muscat come summer, get some of his own players in. Again, we're talking about players will leave.
If you want to take it right back to source, 49ers Enterprises are to be blamed for appointing Russell Martin.
Yeah.
That's where it all starts. And then after 17 games, they have to get rid of him. And now look where they are. But as I say, players... When Russell Martin was in charge or Barry Ferguson was in charge, players were always being asked to give more. And tomorrow it is down to players, because the club needs a response from the players tomorrow. And Nico Raskin, wonderful for Belgium again in the international break, he has got to assume the mantle tomorrow. Tavernier has got to lead from the front as the captain. And so on and so on. Players have to take some responsibility. The situation is far from ideal, but they're paid to sort out things on the park.
Well, thank you to John. Let's hear a bit from Stevie Smith, speaking today for the first time. He says Rangers fans should see changes in tomorrow's game. He says he wants to go back to basics and not overload the players with information.
I think there's a few things. Probably clarity is the most important thing in terms of the tactical side of the game. I think we tried to put a bit of work into them yesterday, and we'll do more of that today. But probably just to strip it back and simplify it and remind them that they are a good group. They are a good group of players for what I've seen. But I say words are cheap, and I think there's a lot of people who've sat here and promised certain things, but it's up to them now to go and put that into practice tomorrow. I would like to think there'll be a change. As I say, I'm not going to go... Because one thing you don't want to do in this position is overload them information, and then it becomes really confusing. It's probably stripping it back a little bit, going back to basics slightly, but there will be information there that's new, and I would like to think after the last couple of days that we've had and the session today, it will be quite clear what we're trying to do tomorrow.
Is that the thing that you've maybe seen interim managers do in the past? Is that the right way to go about it, that not really being too heavy in your imprint on your style and what you want to do, just getting it back to basics and trying to get the best out of the players and get a win and see where it goes from there?
Yeah, I think in terms of Stevie Smith, it's at the same time as there's a lot of pressure, it's a huge opportunity for him to show what he is capable of at that level. I think in terms of stripping it back, yes, I think that's clear for all to see, just purely based on the performances we've seen from Rangers. So you would expect them, obviously, to get the ball wide, put crosses in the box, just with some of the profile of the players they have. So it's a free hit for Stephen Smith in terms of getting that interim chance to strip back what Russell Martin had put in place, which we all still to this day don't quite know what it was. But he's right, there is some good players within there, and I'll also have to agree with you, there's guys tomorrow who have to step up, and sometimes when it is a guy that comes up for the 19s, you want to give him that energy, because you know he's in an uncomfortable position, because it's not natural to just come from 19 straight into the Rangers first team job. But you would fully expect them to put on a performance tomorrow for their fans.
I'm a layman in these terms. I've never played professional football like Scott Allen. I've never been at an Old Firm club like Scott Allen. But are players incapable of working out anything for themselves? Can they not see the situation the club is in? Yeah. Can they not see the importance of the match? Why do they have to be overloaded with information? Can't they think for themselves at any point?
Well, let's speak to Billy, who is a Rangers fan, up next. Billy, what are you thinking tonight?
Listen, first of all, thanks very much for taking my call. Mr. Keevans and the rest of the panel. I just want to make I want to put a point across insofar that do the 49ers realise what sort of club that they've taken on here in Scotland, the stature of the club and also the standing of the club. But also, nothing against Russell Martin. He was given a job. He was given a job under false pretenses, in my opinion. Let's get behind the new guy.
What do you mean under false pretenses, Billy?
Under false pretenses was for any man to get an interview seven times to be employed at a great football club like Glasgow Rangers, after the first interview, it should have been done and dusted. Nothing against the man, you know, nothing against him at all, but it should have went to a more experienced manager. Now, can I just say, Kevin Muscat coming in, 110% behind him. Seriously, let's give him the chance and let's all enjoy what's going to be happening to this great and wonderful football club when it comes to winning games of football, first and foremost. You know, but also, can I just say that I just hope everybody tomorrow, myself included, are going to get behind the team tomorrow against a United side that are not playing very well. But are we playing very well? No, we're not. But let's get the fans back on board with the new appointments and also with what's happening within my club. I can only see better things happening from now on in.
What gives you the confidence that Kevin Muscat's the right man, Billy?
Muscat has got ties with the club previously as a player.
Means nothing.
Russell Martin also had ties as a player, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I take that point aboard appropriately. But the way Russell Martin conducted himself, the way he conducted in his interviews, etc., after each and every game, left a lot to be desired.
Kevin, the atmosphere tomorrow, to answer your question about the atmosphere, Billy, the atmosphere will be dictated to by the progress of the game. If Dundee United go one up, pandemonium. If Rangers go one up, different ball game altogether.
Do you think the atmosphere at the start of the game will just naturally be better, though?
Yes.
It'll have a lighter feel to it than it would have, say, crowd, if Russell Martin had kept his job.
The crowd will be initially supportive, 100% supportive. There's no point in shouting about this, that or the other. Rangers have to get 3 points. They have to hope that Hearts drop something, because there's an 11 point gap between them. And then the mood is dictated to by what happens on the park, Scott. It's got to be that way.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's how the start of the game is going to be hugely important. I think, listen, if Rangers weren't to win the game, it's not going to be Stevie Smith's fault that Rangers have lost the game. I think that's worth saying, because this squad consistently just hasn't performed. So for me, looking at it from afar, what Stevie Smith does, he's obviously speaking in an interview about stripping it back. What will that look like tomorrow from what we have seen? Because defensively, Rangers have looked really vulnerable. So does that look like, in terms of changes coming into the team, guys who maybe haven't played as much, what's he going to do in terms of that striker's role? And Chirbiti scored away with Portugal under 21s during the week. So the biggest problem is Russell Martin didn't know his best team. So looking at Rangers from in training, it'll be interesting to see what Stevie Smith thinks is his best team tomorrow.
In terms of Billy's point about being 110% behind Kevin Muscat, fine, all well and good. However, you need to wait and see what happens under Kevin Muscat. It is what happens until Kevin Muscat gets here that is the problem for Rangers.
What's it going to look like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you lose points? Will the gap between Rangers and Hearts become even bigger? Or Rangers and Celtic?
But see, looking at that in terms of the 49, what does that tell the fans that they're willing to, when you look at some of the games in there?
I think it tells the fans that the 49ers enterprises have painted themselves into a corner, and this is all they can do now. They have to give the contract to Kevin Muscat, they have to agree compensation with Shanghai Port, and they have to put up with the period between signing the contract and Kevin Muscat getting here, and they have to try and do as little damage as is possible.
Well, thank you to Billy, 0141 951 1025. Keep those calls coming.
Tackle the headlines, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit more from Stevie Smith, shall we, ahead of taking interim charge of Rangers for the first time. He says he actually remembers Kevin Muscat from their time at Ibrox together. Stevie Smith was just a youth player, but says in their limited dealings he thought Kevin Muscat was a pleasant guy and thinks he's the type of character Rangers need.
I was a young player, so I only came across him a few times. When I was a young player, my job used to be to clean Alec McLeish's boots and the coaching staff, so I used to pass him in the corridor. And again, as a person, it was really pleasant. I know there's a reputation there as a player, but the communication I had with him was always very pleasant to the younger players. Probably. It's an interesting question. There's obviously, in the past 4 or 5 years, we've had different types of managers. There is no guarantee of success anywhere. And it's really difficult to guarantee success when you're at a club that the expectation is to win all the time. That's never going to happen. But there's we've experienced different managers, whether it be managers that have played here, managers that have been deemed head coach types that are more tactical. So we've had every type of manager, but the priority is always to win.
Craig is a Rangers fan in the Gorbals. Craig, how are you feeling about the prospect of Kevin Muscat?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, so I've phoned in a few times over the last kind of couple of weeks, as many Rangers fan have. So initially, my first choice was McInnes, has been for quite a while, but already went over those points, so I won't labour the point. In regards to Gerrard, I was happy for him to come in, but out with those two, I think of all the names that are kind of getting touted about, like Bilic, Potter, Danny Rowe, Muscat was the only one that kind of had any kind of appeal to me personally anyway. So obviously we've had a bit of time to
Craig?
How come in regards to Muscat and regards to the other ones?
Yeah.
A couple of points, to be honest with you, and I know this is all cliche and people go, it doesn't need to be a Rangers man, but I think the way the club is just now, I think there has to be an understanding of the demand, the expectation. He's played for the club, he's been successful with the club. I think he was in the last squad to win a treble, so he kind of knows what it's all about, and he'll make a comparison to when he was at the club to now. Now, managers like Bilic and Potter, they have managed at a top level down in England. Potter's done well in Scandinavia, done really well at Brighton. Difficult circumstances at Chelsea, but They haven't won anything in regards to trophies and silverware, whereas Muscat has. And I made a comparison to Ange, and I think it is an actual kind of comparison. They've both came for the Asian leagues, they've both won, they've both been successful. I think the comparison to Ange with Muscat is Ange didn't know anything about the club really, didn't know the expectation, didn't know the city. So I do generally think that will give him a head start now. We know that doesn't obviously guarantee success, but I do think Muscat, knowing the club, the demands is a good option.
The fact that he was here, the fact that he was here 22 years ago,
yeah,
means nothing. It's about what he does in 2025. That's all that matters. With the greatest respect, all the talk about nice guy and different man off the park to the way he is, I couldn't care less.
Surely being at the club and understanding the sort of landscape of Scottish football helps to some extent, but there's also so much more on top of that,
yeah,
that you need to get right as a manager to be a success.
As I say, he was here 22 years ago. The fans will take him to their hearts because he once wore the jersey. That's fine. But it's what happens after the 22nd of November. That's all that matters. If someone came out and said, do you know what? Kevin Muscat is a horrible, despicable person. It wouldn't matter. It's what he does for Rangers on the park. All the other stuff is just wallpaper. First game, how did he do? And take it from there.
when it comes to Craig's point about the fact that Kevin Muscat has won things as a manager, he has won titles in Australia, he's won a title in Japan, he's won a title in China, he's potentially three games away from winning another title in China. Does that show, first of all, that he can win, but is also adaptable, able to go to different leagues with different squads and find success?
Yeah, I think all the reasons that you obviously list there, I think they are in his favour, but ultimately you're not coming to Glasgow, which is obviously a real pressure cooker at a stage in the season where right now they're not in a good place. We can't predict where Rangers will be by the time Kevin Muscat comes in, and what will the squad be, fragile, will they not, will they be on the back of some good wins? We can't quite predict that at this moment in time, so that's going to ultimately be the challenge when he comes in the door. And that's why for me it's so important these next kind of five or six games, because it's then what sort of, it could be a mess or it could be wrong. That's what's going to ultimately, for Kevin Muscat coming in the door, he would want it to be Rangers off the back of some wins, so we can't predict that. And that's why for me the 49er Enterprises not getting this in place as soon as possible leaves Rangers in a very unpredictable position come this season.
Craig, is that period of limbo a concern for you?
We're just going to come on to that. So to be honest with you, it's not ideal. I get that. But what I would say is Muscat obviously isn't willing to come until his season's finished. So I think that shows a lot about his character. He's not kind of going to up at sticks and leave. So I don't think it's ideal, but if the board really want him, and for the sake of 4 or 5 weeks, I think it's worth the wait. The biggest issue that I have is the interim period. So I know, or I've heard in the media, that Stephen Smith can't take the team in Europe because he doesn't have a throw line.
No, he can, Craig. I think there were some suggestions about that I'd seen, okay. But there's, as far as I'm aware, there are no issues. Like Stephen Davis in his interim spell when he took charge of the Aris Limassol away game, there's no issues. The SFA would be absolutely fine with Stephen Smith being able to take charge of a European match.
No, well, that clears up. That's fair. Just as I said, only heard it kind of in the media. What I think and what I hope does happen is hopefully we announce Muscat over the weekend, and part of that statement is if everything I'm going on is true, that Neil McCann is his number two, and Neil McCann comes in as of Monday, takes training, kind of just settles everything down, and he's going to be part of the coaching team, so he can start to get those messages across. Yeah. Now, your previous caller did say about Stephen Smith and lack of respect. I totally agree with Scott Allen. If they don't respect the club, then that's the biggest issue. So I don't think there'll be any issue with Stephen Smith. I don't have an issue with Stephen Smith. He's in the building. He knows the club. He's played for the club. It's a safe pair of hands. He's not going to be there long term. He's just more of a stopgap. So that isn't an issue for me. I just think the timing of the announcement of Muscat and hopefully Neil McCann is the next key thing, and hopefully that's over the next day or two.
If I was Shanghai Port, I'd be driving a hard bargain, because Kevin Muscat still has another year left on his contract and he's probably going to be a title winner. So I'd be looking for as much compensation as I could get my hands on, knowing that Rangers are absolutely desperate to get this man.
When it comes to Neil McCann potentially coming in the door, it bridges the gap, but does it only bridge the gap to some extent? Because Neil McCann will come in, if he is then to be part of Kevin Muscat's coaching staff, there's that continuation on. But how much can he, you know, imprint what Kevin Muscat wants to do when Kevin Muscat has a title running of his own to deal with? Can Neil McCann actually try and work on any methods that Kevin Muscat would be wanting to bring at all?
Well, you'd like to think so. If they're going to work together, I think
you just wonder how much focus that would involve. Obviously, you know, communication between Kevin Muscat and Neil McCann. How much is that possible when Kevin Muscat's got his own title to worry about?
Yeah, but he's not going to be working 24 hours a day.
Managers tell you it's a 24-hour job.
To come back to the point, Jack Butland's an England international. Tavernier has been at Rangers for 10 years. Suter's a Scotland international. Raskin is a Belgium international. They've got a core of players there who ought to assume a kind of player-manager role in their own minds and get the job done here. I do understand.
It's a situation, isn't it, Hugh, where this situation could potentially bring the group closer together. I do believe in that, while it's in that kind of state of not too sure what it's going to look like in the next coming weeks. So I do feel in terms of what Hugh's trying to say with the points with the guys on the pitch. I do feel in some of these situations it can bring squads closer together and you maybe get a bit extra on the pitch.
You have to take some responsibility in life for yourself. You know, do they really and truly have to be told the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears before they go out on the park? You know, they should be able to handle tomorrow's situation and what then follows.
Well, thank you to Craig. Eddie is in East Kilbride. Eddie, what's your take?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So just a few points I'd like to get the panel's thoughts. Firstly, I agree with you. I think Rangers have got a core of good players there, and yeah, they do need to step up, especially young Stevie Smith coming in. And I think the players, I don't think they were enjoying playing under Russell Martin. And I think the crowd, the fan base now, myself, mates, so season tickets, it's going to be a full house tomorrow, and the players will need to take some responsibility. And I think hopefully they will step up with Russell Martin being away. There should be a little bounce on them there. They weren't enjoying playing. The worry I've got tomorrow is that if the result didn't go Rangers' way, and if it doesn't, then I think, you know, the toxicity that's been there with Russell Martin, I think it's going to turn, if Thelwell and Patrick Stewart are sitting up in the stand there, it's going to turn on them. They guys are now, you know, Stevie Smith's not going to get anything, and Stevie Smith's press conference today I thought was absolutely excellent. He spoke very well. He's been flung in there at the deep end, if you like. And I think Thelwell and Stewart now are going to be the fall guys, you know, if we don't get a result tomorrow.
Well, that will happen, but if Rangers failed to beat Dundee United, but if there had been no managerial reshuffle in the background, would we have taken Rangers to beat Dundee United tomorrow at home, given that they've only won one league game all season? Yeah, you probably would have taken Rangers. The circumstances are now such that those Rangers players have got to increase their efforts, and they have better players than Dundee United, or it's up to Jim Goodwin to disprove that and go there with his group, which he brought in. They're a much changed squad, very few Scottish players, if any at all. So Jim Goodwin, I am sure, will be of a mind not to lose that game, because he knows everyone will say, oh, you couldn't beat Rangers under-19 coach. So it's an intriguing afternoon for Jim Goodwin and Dundee United as well.
Eddie, is Kevin Muscat the man for you?
Yeah, he is now. I mean, it's been handled absolutely terribly with the owners. I can only say that, you know, they've come in, Americans have not got much experience in Scottish football. Again, I'll go back and agree with you. You know, the players tomorrow, you know, if you're any football player at all playing under Stevie Smith, but they'll know there's a new manager coming in. So, you know, a bit of pride in themselves to go out and say, right, you know, because Stevie Smith's going to feed back to the new manager when he comes in, whoever that may be, if it is Muscat. But I think it's got to be now. You know, you was mentioning the compensation in Shanghai Port. They'll be hanging out for as much as they can, and I think they've got Rangers by the...
Exactly, yeah.
But Eddie makes a point there. It simply has to be Kevin Muscat now, doesn't it? It looks as if it's going to be, but people said that about Steven Gerrard last weekend as well. Could you imagine if this deal didn't go through? It certainly doesn't look at the moment as if it would fall through if there's any reason to, but this has to go through.
This time last week, I turned to Scott Allen and I said to him, can you imagine how Rangers would react if it isn't Stephen Gerrard?
That's right.
And at 8:30, I'm at a 50th birthday party, and I am given a text message to say, call the office urgently, because Stephen Gerrard did say no. So you're absolutely correct, Andrew. It has to be Kevin Muscat. They have to decide on compensation with Shanghai Port. If there were to be an announcement tomorrow that was not going to be Kevin Muscat, it would be the definition of crisis, with a capital C-R-I-S-I-S.
What are your plans tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night? No, I have no plans. I'm available.
Just in case. Just wondering. Right, thank you to Eddie. 01419511025. We'll hear more from you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen on Clyde One Super Scoreboard with myself, Andrew McLean. Taking your calls all the way through until 8 o'clock, so lots of time to get involved. 0141 951 1025. James is a Rangers fan in Govan. James, how are you?
I'm no bad.
We got you, James?
You hear me?
Yes, got you loud and clear. What are you thinking tonight?
So what I'm thinking is the 49ers seem to have put their hands up and admitted to go at Russell Martin wrong. What I want them to do now is put their hands up and admit they got Kevin Fellwell wrong and they got Paddy Stewart wrong. And there's a lot of other things that they got wrong.
Patrick Stewart was in beforehand, wasn't he? Kevin Fellwell was...
He started on December 16, 2025, Patrick Stewart.
So was that with the view of them coming in?
No. He predates the whole takeover exercise.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, James, on you go.
I'll reword that. I want them to admit that that's an appointment that they don't want and they don't want to go forward there. This guy is out buying, you know, £8 million players and they kind of kick up off. So, I mean, no matter who we get in here, I've got nothing against who's going to take the team forward. But what I do have is, I don't think anybody can work with the way, the structure that Rangers is in. Even Gerrard already went away. Now, I know that's going to be all and end all, but what I'm saying is, that just shows me there's a restriction on every manager. So we're not going to get a manager. All we're going to get is a coach that's going to do what he's told and going to play with the players that are positioned for him. And that's not what we want. So we're going to be restricted. Moving forward, Rangers is always going to be restricted.
Muscat doesn't give me the impression of being the kind of man who just does what he's told. You know, Australia is his native country. He did well there. But to go to Japan and then China, he has a great sense of adaptability, it would appear, because he's won trophies in both of those countries. He'll come in and be his own man. And he comes in with all the cards because Rangers need him, can't do without him, otherwise the club is plunged into crisis. Therefore, I think Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart will be well aware that he's in charge. It might come the January transfer window where there are problems over recruitment. We'll wait until January and find out if that is the case. But I think Kevin Muscat arrives knowing that, because Neil McCann or whoever will be filling him in on everything that's going on here. He's coming in knowing that they really need me. And the gentleman who's the CEO and the gentleman who's the director of football will be answerable to me, not the other way around.
It's not really how modern football structures work, though, is it?
But James is on the line telling you that he vehemently disagrees with the appointment of Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell. And again, I make the point that Patrick Stewart was there before the takeover was underway. But Muscat, for me, comes in a terrific psychological position because Rangers desperately need him. And Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart, not sidelined altogether, but they'll be well aware that they need to give Kevin Muscat plenty of room.
Is it likely that Rangers change or rip up their whole football structure just because manager number one in this new ownership didn't work out? Would they then turn round and give Kevin Muscat not quite free rein, but certainly more of a say in things? Or do you think it's more likely that Kevin Muscat will have to agree essentially to the terms that Russell Martin agreed to coming in?
Really hard to tell, because we don't quite know yet how this board is going to react to obviously their second manager. What we do know, and I have to agree with James, is what's been on since the summer has been nowhere near good enough, especially from a Rangers point of view, from a fans' point of view, in terms of recruitment, in terms of the appointment obviously of Russell Martin that hasn't worked out. Even this process, they're on obviously their third choice already, so this has got to work in terms of a Rangers hierarchy point of view. If it doesn't, then they might see a restructure then, because at this stage, if it wasn't to work, you can only imagine how how frustrated the fans would be.
James, have you sort of given up hope on a lot of the summer signings already? Do you not feel any manager or head coach that comes in will be able to get a tune out of some of the players?
I mean, I dare say Kevin Muscat will get a tune out of maybe half of them or three quarters of them. I don't really know. And nobody really knows.
No.
But the only thing that I'm saying is, I really hope that Hugh's right. I hope that Kevin Muscat takes points his finger at a player and says, I want him, and they go and get him. That's what I'm hoping. Because if it doesn't work with that, these two guys need to go. That's what I'm saying. You know, I want the best for Neil McCann, Kevin Muscat. You know, I want the best for everybody. And I hope I'm completely wrong. And I hope that Patrick Stewart and Kevin, you know, Delil, they're brilliant.
James, I would be really surprised just in terms of how the structure is of the 49ers enterprise if Kevin Muscat did have full control of all the side. I would be very surprised. I'm not saying I agree with that, but I would be very surprised in this day and age in modern football.
I'm making, Scott, though, is that they know. Thelwell and Stewart both know. You have to give this man plenty of room, let him bed in, let him do his thing and move the team forward. If he doesn't, then, of course, all the blame is apportioned to Kevin Muscat. But if I were them, I'd be saying give this guy plenty of room to work, because everyone's looking at us and thinking we're the problem, so stay out the way and let him go on with it.
The easiest way for that to happen in terms of a Kevin Muscat point of view would be maybe get a tune out of some of the players who haven't performed thus far.
Then if he does get a tune out of those players, does the opinion of Kevin Thelwell and the job that he's done, does that potentially change? I know it would take a lot for some fans to change their opinion on Kevin Thelwell because we hear a lot of negativity there, but say Kevin Muscat comes in and Rangers do magnificently well, and some of the summer signings that have been made that Kevin Thelwell's fingerprints are all over all of a sudden have a great season, then opinion on him all of a sudden changes as well, doesn't it?
Everything comes down to performance, whether you're Kevin Thelwell or you're going to be Kevin Muscat. Everything comes down to performance. So if you've got the results there that back up, then yes, you can change narratives in terms of how the fans see
any football team. As long as it's rolling on nicely, winning matches week after week, you're fine. And nobody, well, I won't say they stop talking about Thelwell and Stewart, but that conversation goes on the back burner. As long as you're winning matches and you're putting up some kind of challenge, fine. But the minute they get involved in a negative way because the team's not winning matches, then you're back to square one.
But Hugh, see in terms of, just hypothetically, you were a Rangers fan, you look at obviously the 49ers enterprise coming in this summer and a lot of real positivity about the club. We're now in October and you look at the list of things that have went wrong, it's a hard watch.
On the night that it was confirmed that 49ers Enterprises had a controlling interest in Rangers, everyone thought the same thing. There will be bucket loads of money. There will be all manner of romantic signings. But checking Glasgow Airport for Kylian Mbappe's arrival. It was all of that. And Scott's 100% correct. Since then, it's been one mistake after another, culminating in, here we are on the eve of Rangers versus Dundee United and the under-19 coach is taking the team.
James, how do you see Rangers getting on tomorrow?
I don't know. It's really difficult to say. You know, I don't know what the problem is. I think a major problem is the players. You know, but no matter who takes these players on, they've got a job in their hands, you know. But I really don't see, you know, enough of these players turning good to key Kevin Thelwell a pat in the back. I just think that his dealings are suspect. That's the best I can say. Legally and publicly.
No, I think you can say that, James, because we've all sat here and listened to the manager question mentality, and we've heard own players question mentality and how vulnerable the group is. So there's Rangers fans are rightly to call that out in terms of the players, because the players and the previous manager themselves both questioned it.
Well, thank you to James, 0141 951 1025. Keep those calls coming, we've got another hour worth of that, and you'll want to phone in for this as well.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A good performance from you earlier on in the week, Hugh, on Beat the Pundit.
I was on fire. I have to admit. First question, who did Kevin Muscat manage in Australia? Melbourne Victory, right on the money. And then I carried on, swept all before me, until I assumed that an Italian TV company covering Scottish football was called Setanta, who, as everyone knows, were Irish.
It was Swedish or Norwegian, or certainly Scandinavian, Fireplay. So you've still got that wrong, either way. Yeah. Anyway, maybe Hugh's luck has run out and tonight is the night to phone to play Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen at Beat the Pundit. If you want your chance to take on one of those two, ring 0141 951 1025 before 7 o'clock.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
One more hour of calls to bring you on Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans. 0141 951 1025. We've been looking ahead to Rangers against Dundee United tomorrow, where of course Stevie Smith will be an interim charge. Still no official manager announcement from Rangers. Looks as if it's going to be Kevin Muscat, but we still wait to hear officially from the club. Celtic fans, what are you thinking ahead of the return to Premiership action this weekend? There is talk of more fan protest as well. Maybe you want to get into that. 0141 951 1025, and every Premiership team in action this weekend. So any thoughts on your games coming up? 0141 951 1025. Just seeing that on the TV there, Graham Potter close to becoming the Sweden manager. He was, I mean, talked about certainly at one point, but I don't think was ever really a Rangers option.
No. John Dal Thomason was making a horrific mess of the Sweden job. So Graham Potter, now take his old pal Billy Reid. They worked at club level in Sweden together, so Billy will be going there.
Do you remember the team?
Oh, no. It's unimportant. I wish Billy well.
I'll tell you what's not unimportant is knowing the answers to these questions, because it's time to play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
As we were saying before the break, some good form from you this week. How are you getting on this season, Scott? Have you played much?
We haven't played for the last month, that's what we were saying last week.
Every Friday night it comes blue for Hugh.
Three wins and one defeat for you so far this season.
No, I think there's more than that. Where am I sitting in the table?
The thing is, the table is skewed because there's quite a lot of pundits that have only played like one or two games. Out of the regulars, the ones that have played more regularly, Marvin is top, Roger is second, then it's Hugh and Scott, both on 75% win rate.
Andy not up there?
No, he has only played twice this season and he's got one win and one defeat. 50%. He is on -1 this season though, so that doesn't help. But
75% success rate, I should chuck it now.
Not bad, Hugh.
Wave to the crowd, bye bye.
Right, it will be Jordan and Irvin who is going to play. Jordan, have you played before?
I have not, mate, no.
How do you normally get along when you're playing along at home?
Two, three, maybe. That's it, on good days. But yeah, try my best.
Two or three on a good day, Jordan.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what, I admire the confidence. Maybe some people sort of crumble under the pressure. Maybe Jordan's the type that rises to the pressure.
Maybe he's... I don't know about that.
Okay, right, Jordan is not having himself whatsoever. Who would you rather play, Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen?
Scott Allen for sure. Hugh will make me look really bad.
Oof. Scott Allen for sure. You having that, Scott?
That's disappointing.
Right, it will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Hugh Keevans. It'll be the red side for Scott Allen. And it is the blue side, so it is Hugh Keevans.
Hugh, what is going on here?
I think the blue side of the coin is heavier than the red side.
So.
Anyway,
I suppose it depends what side you start it on.
Anyway.
How hard you? We'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans so he cannot hear us, Jordan. You'll know the rules because you play along at home, but just for clarity, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well to save yourself a bit of time if you're struggling. Is that all good?
Fingers crossed.
Right, let's play. How many teams are in the championship?
16.
Which Celtic player represents Finland?
Oh, God. Pass.
Kevin Muscat left Rangers in what year?
03.
Who won last season's Challenge Cup?
Pass.
Broadwood Stadium is in which town?
Edinburgh.
True or false? Channel 4 used to show League Cup games. What was that, Jordan? True or false?
True.
Okay, we will bring Hugh Keevans back in so he can hear us. Hugh, loud and clear?
Loud and clear.
30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. How many teams are in the championship?
10.
Which Celtic player represents Finland?
Sinisalo.
Kevin Muscat left Rangers in what year?
2023.
Who won last season's Challenge Cup?
Falkirk.
Broadwood Stadium is in which town?
It's in Cumbernauld.
True or false? Channel 4 used to show League Cup games.
False.
Who has the second most cap for the Scottish men's team?
Willie Miller.
Okay, we will bring Jordan back in. Jordan, how do you feel that went?
Time goes fast.
It's a quick.
I meant to say 23.
Yeah.
2003.
But the issue is, you didn't say 2003. Right. We will go through them. How many teams are in the championship? Hugh Keevan said 10. It is 10. Jordan was living up to his own hype because he said 16. Not the best start for Jordan. Wow. It goes 1-0 to Hugh Keevans. Which Celtic player represents Finland? I feel bad for Jordan here.
Sure,
because he passed and I'd moved on to the next question. And while I was reading the next question, he said Voyami Sinisalo, which is correct. Hugh did get it. So it goes 2-0 to Hugh Keevans if we're keeping that pass in there. Kevin Muscat left Rangers in what year? You said 2023. Jordan said 2003.
Yeah.
He got it right. He said 03. So that goes 2-1. So there is only one in it. Who won last season's Challenge Cup?
Livingston.
Livingston is correct.
Robin Muirhead, screamer.
Neither of the guys got it. So it remains 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. Broadwood Stadium is in which town? Jordan.
Tell me Jordan got that.
It's actually worse than you think.
Oh no.
Jordan went for Edinburgh. That was a panic answer if I've ever heard one. Jordan.
A panic answer.
And Hugh went for what's it called?
Cumbernauld.
Correct. It goes 3-1 to Hugh Keevans. True or false? Channel 4 used to show League Cup games. This is where you know your luck is out, Jordan, because it is just a 50-50. Hugh got it right. He went for false. You went for true. So it's 4-1 to Hugh Keevans. Hugh got one more question in. Who has the second most caps for the Scottish men's national team? You went for Willie Miller.
Mm.
Incorrect. No, this one, Scott. So top is obviously Kenny Dalglish. It is Jim Leighton. So it finishes 4-1 to Hugh Keevans. Jordan, unlucky. Jordan.
The only question I got right was because Hugh Keevan mentioned it in the earlier in the show that he left 22 years ago.
I know.
I want to see the footage for your reaction when you realise you said 2023.
Hard lines, Jordan. Jordan, you are a Celtic fan. Are you looking forward to the return of league action this weekend?
Yes, for sure. It'll be interesting, obviously, because the fan stuff that's going on at the moment. But yeah, good to get at it after the break.
How are you feeling about that, the fan protests? Is it the type of thing that you feel is necessary, just given what's going on at the club at the moment?
It's one of them times. The fans are, I feel, are entitled. They bring a lot of money into the club, so definitely entitled to their opinions. But like I say, it's about the team. So soldier on. Hopefully get above hearts and win another. Another bit of silverware.
I think Brendan Rodgers was saying today it was going into a really vital period. 7 games in 21 days.
Yeah.
So it's you know, it's a quick stretch of games, Jordan. It could be quite big in the landscape of the season, couldn't it? Big Europa League games in there, of course, cup semi final, and of course trying to get ahead of Hearts in the league.
It'd be good to have a couple of players return as well to see. Hopefully a change of personalities. Obviously, Ali Johnston should be back pretty soon. Some fresh new faces. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, it's a busy time coming up. But yeah, fingers crossed.
Coming from James Forrest, part of the world in Irvine, are you in favour of James Forrest maybe starting on Sunday?
I'm a big fan of James Forrest. I'd have him start. Yeah, he's done well coming on, maybe like your 60-minute mark, as of past couple of months, but it's one of them, isn't it? He's solid, he's reliable. Yeah, I would go ahead and start if he needed.
where do you see that right wing spot going for Celtic? Because Daizen Maeda, who, you know, played there a bit before the international break, he's injured. He can't play this weekend because of a hamstring issue. Brendan Rodgers is going to have to move things about. Is it going to be James Forrest? Is it Balakwisha that potentially plays there? Does someone else take up that role for you?
Yeah, I think on Sunday, I think it'll go James Forrest, obviously, and Nacho up front, who, from what we've seen, looks like he likes to play really well. So I think James, obviously, coming in, likes to obviously bounce that ball with a striker and put some crosses in the box. So I would like to see Jamesy back in there. I think, as you know, Brendan Rodgers has worked on many other times, and he does have that quality in the final third.
I think Celtic go to the Forest well too often, but this Sunday, it strikes me that with the Daizen Maeda out, the front three has to be looked at. I just think Forest might bring kind of composure that Celtic need. I can still hear the crowd reaction to Daizen Maeda's third goal, or the goal number three for Celtic against Motherwell. Crowd responded, they knew the importance of the goal, but 12 o'clock Sunday, Dundee, I just have a feeling that the Forest experience could be essential for Celtic.
Well, thank you to Jordan. Let's speak to Andy in Broxburn just after we hear from Brendan Rodgers, who claims it is an exciting set of fixtures that await the team.
It's addressing now the future going forward. We've been showed glimpses of our game in a lot of our domestic games. We just need to find a more consistent level. I think it's a really exciting spell for the club. I think that you're really starting to get into the thick of it then. So, but there's no doubt this period now between now and the next break is some big games in there, some really important games, but it's for us to really embrace and really take on the challenge, and let's just do it.
Andy, what is on your mind regarding Celtic tonight?
It's the midfield. The thing is, it doesn't work. Like, I like Negrin. I like Gavin McGregor. Like, Gabriel, he's undroppable, basically. He's probably the best player in Scotland, in my opinion. But what I was thinking is, you could move Negrin out to the right and maybe bring Bernardo and McCowan in there, because I think they seem to be way better than what's offered from the likes of Hatate, likes of Engels. Like, they're not used to me. But hey, I've never been a Hatate fanboy. So, he is technically a good player, but he doesn't try. Whereas, you know what you're getting ready to.
I think you're completely wrong about Rio Hatate. I think he's the best midfield player at Celtic Park. And they have missed him this season because his form has been, by his own standards, unsatisfactory. I think Rio Hatate, if he were to play like the Rio Hatate we know, it would make a world of difference to Celtic. Whoever was in the midfield, I would always have Hatate if he was at himself.
You say he's the best midfielder at Celtic, but is that not also dependent on his form? Can he be the best midfielder at Celtic? Yeah, and I know that people will argue that a lot of the Celtic midfield hasn't clicked, but
none of Celtic's better players last year have clicked this year.
No, none at all.
So all could be
Engels, flatters to deceive. Paulo Bernardo, I think, is another injury concern for Sunday. Although I do believe he's a decent player, but I don't think he'll make it fitness wise. McCowan against his old club, you'd have a bit of that possibly. But the biggest problem Celtic have had, apart from the loss of a front three in its entirety and not replaced properly, the biggest problem is you've got a whole section of midfield players and no one has had good games on a back-to-back basis.
Because there is depth there, Scott. When you look at Celtic's bench for a lot of this season, there is £11 million of Arne Engels on there. As you mentioned, Paulo Bernardo's there, Luke McCowan's there as well. Why do you feel Brendan Rodgers hasn't been able to get that midfield three to click so far this campaign?
Well, I think between Arne Engels and Paulo Bernardo, they haven't had a decent run of games to really get the kind of form that they would need. I think when you have Callum McGregor, obviously Hatate, who I rate highly as well, I think when you have players like that, you're more inclined to give them the games and hoping that the form then changes, because they have been so reliable over the past few seasons. Negrin coming in obviously changed it a bit. bit of a different dynamic in terms of player, looks like in the box, has got on the score sheet. In terms of overall performance, for me, I wouldn't say he's been fantastic, but at the same time, he isn't playing in the Celtic team who is playing with the same fluidity we have seen over a few years. So it's up to Brendan Rodgers to get the best. He sees him day in, day out. We can only have an opinion on what we see on the football pitch, but I think that break came at a good time for Celtic. They obviously won the game against Motherwell. As much as Motherwell were good for parts of the game, Celtic in that last 20 minutes really put the pressure on and kind of showed why they've been champions, because they keep going and keep asking questions. It was a great goal to win the game, and at the same time, by the way, as much as Arne Engels is getting a bit of stick off the fans, it's a fantastic pick out.
Everyone is fixating on Hearts against Celtic next weekend, but I think this weekend, Hearts at Kilmarnock, very important. They could slip up there. Celtic at Dundee shed goals, did so under Tony Docherty, are doing under Stephen Presley. But that game is more important than the Hearts game. We'll get to Tynecastle in due course, but for both of them, Hearts and Celtic, this weekend is important.
How do you rate Hearts as potential title contenders, Andy?
I would like to actually see the challenge, to be honest. I would actually like to see the challenge, and fair play to them. They used that, I don't know, is it Jamestown analytics or something they used?
Yep.
And I would actually like to see the challenge, and they look, from what I've seen the end of their games, like, obviously I mostly watch Celtic, but I watch other Scottish football all the time, but I would actually be welcoming the challenge, but I don't know if the squad's big enough cope with injuries.
The squad's definitely big enough.
Yeah, they've got a lot of players, but then it just comes down to whether the backup players are of the required quality for Hearts to have that staying power, essentially, Scott.
Yeah, I think in terms of Derek McInnes and Hearts, I think they look at it, can they maintain that sort of form up until January, which is a big ask in itself. But obviously that Christmas period that we know is so important. Then they get to January, if they're still within touching distance or even in front still, then you would have to think that Hearts really, really throw some money at it and look to go out and get some more quality in.
Fascinating for them, because they'll know the result at Ibrox before they even kick off.
Yep.
So they know that Rangers have reduced the gap between them to 8 points, which is psychologically a different story from a double-digit deficit.
Yeah. Tough, you're right, Hugh, though, that's a really difficult game for Hearts tomorrow.
If Rangers do slip up tomorrow, Hearts know that they could extend their lead even further.
Well, thank you to Andy, 0141 951 1025. Still time to get your calls in, and we will set up a teaser for Scott and Hugh next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Looking ahead to the return of Premiership action this weekend on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, you can get your calls in to Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans, 0141 951 1025. We're going to speak to Billy and Airdrie in a second, but a teaser for you to try and work out here. Thanks to Adam in Hamilton for this one. He says, can you name the last 7 Celtic players to wear the number 7 shirt?
James Forrest.
Jota.
James Forrest is no. James Forrest has never worn the number 7 shirt for Celtic. So that is incorrect. But Jota is correct.
Are we going all the way back to Henrik?
No. Uh-huh. Not that far back.
Oh, my mind's just went blank. Right, so who was the 7 before Jota?
The 6 before Jota. So you've got Jota plus another 6 to get. Do you want me to leave you some thinking time?
You better.
Okay, right. We'll speak to Billy, who is a Rangers fan in Airdrie. Billy, how are you?
Aye, okay. I've been tagging on for weeks, but it never gets through. I think there's something happening in Glasgow at the minute.
Yeah, it's been a busy time of it, Billy. You're finally through. What's your point?
Well, basically, listen, I've been chapping at the bit to say this, right? And I was wanting to say this before they actually sacked Russell Martin. I think it's about time the fans realise that we're not the same club that we used to be. What I mean by that is, going back to the days of your Walter Smith, your Alex McLeish's and all that, we've struggled since 2012. Now, in my opinion, the board are meant to come out and say this. They're meant to come out and tell the fans, right, the God's honest truth of what's happening. They've got to tell them that they need to fix the club financially, to get it right on the park, because they know it's just a merry-go-round. We're a laughing stock of Scotland in a minute, you know, and the only way you can fix that is through finances. If we keep chasing and chasing and chasing, you're never going to get there then, because we're sacking managers and getting £5.5 million.
So who get £5.5 million?
But you're telling me that's not what he's got. That's what I've read.
No chance.
That he's going to be getting £5.5 million.
Russell Martin. And
no chance.
Russell Martin, right. No. Anyway, it doesn't matter for you. You can think what you want, right? That's fine.
Very kind of you.
No, but let me just finish you, right? Now, in my opinion, the media, including yourself, you, I listen to you every day, every week, whatever, right? But you keep putting us on this big pedestal. They were the same, putting the club under pressure. That I've got to perform, they've got to do this, I've got to do that. The first half of the show, you were saying, Rangers must go to China, and they must do this, and they must do that. They don't need to do anything. Oh. Right? At the end of the day, it's my club, right? And they've got to fix the finances, they've got to get it right in the boardroom before they can get it right on the park. And it's, the fans have been led up the garden path, not just with the Super Scoreboard, by the way. There's a show at the weekend on BBC Scotland, you know what I'm talking about. They do the same. They keep putting Rangers up on this pedestal, and then when it doesn't happen on the park...
But Billy, surely a lot of that expectation comes from the supporters, because there is so much pressure that comes from supporters, and supporters will do that because they're passionate. But does that not lead to the pressure and, you know, Rangers being expected to win trophies and have instant success?
I'm passionate about Rangers is about any other guy out there, you get me? But it's the same with Celtic and Rangers, both of them. It's an entitlement thing. You know what I mean? They think they're entitled to this thing, it's theirs.
But you talk about money, you've just paid £8 million for a player.
Say that again, sorry, Hugh?
You talk about money and the lack of it at Rangers, but you've just paid £8 million for a player.
Right, see that £8 million, it came through as undisclosed, did it not? That's what we're led to believe, it's £8 million.
But Billy, Kevin Thelwell has come out and explicitly said Rangers spent net £20 million this summer.
That
so and then that'll all come out in the account. So Rangers do have money with the new owners. They've spent a lot of money with the new owners, and by spending that money, that then adds further pressure to get success, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I'm struggling with Billy's premise about the media have put pressure on. Scott Allen will tell you, as someone who played for an Old Firm club, pressure is there on a daily basis, a monthly basis, a yearly basis. It comes with the jersey. And even though Rangers were into administration, and I've spent 14 years trying to get over that, the fans demand. They demand the same things that they did 14 years ago. So you just have to go on with it. And when 49ers Enterprises took control of the club, it was in response to the fact that Rangers, the old guard, those who had been on the board, those who had pumped in money, they had nothing left to give. And that made the club susceptible to a takeover. And 49ers Enterprises came in. Unfortunately for Rangers, a lot of what they have done since then has been unsatisfactory.
Billy's talking about time, and that the new board need time to get it right. But you just don't get time at Celtic and Rangers, and as much as some people may want to have that patience with the board, with the players, with managers, it just doesn't happen, and it'll never really happen.
I'd be interested to see what Billy's willing to accept in terms of time, and what he's watching, if he's going to Ibrox obviously every other week, what he's willing to accept is time for then to look to see change. Because I think obviously off the back of the takeover and the money that has been spent, the transfer window, the product on the pitch, for say you were a father taking your son, it's not a good watch. I think you then look across at Hearts with less pressure. They're obviously, owner comes out and says that they expect to split the Old Firm. That's the confidence within him. Derek McInnes is in. He's got to tune out of players who he hasn't signed personally. Some of them have came through the Jamestown analytics. So it's, I don't quite get where Billy's going in terms of time. I would like to hear what he actually thinks, what is enough amount of time to then see change within that Rangers hierarchy and playing performance.
Billy?
Time. Aye, right. So, the time factor. See, this whole, you don't want to give them time. It's a pressure thing that Hugh was talking about a minute ago. Every month, every day, it's pressure, 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 because it's the Old Firm. That's the problem. Rangers are a big club with a big stadium and a big fan base. And if the fan base is as passionate about the club as I am, right, they should get behind them, whether they're winning, losing or drawing on that park. If they know the board are working tirelessly behind the scenes to get it right, they would give them time. And the time I'm talking about is a season or two. Get a season or two. Let a manager actually bed in and try and work with players instead of 17 games and he's out the door.
But what about the Derek McInnes point of view at Hearts? Does that hold anything with you?
They're a prime example. Great manager. Great manager. Great what Hearts is doing. But nobody in the media seems to be shouting about how well Hearts are doing, Dundee United.
Billy, you're paying no attention whatsoever. The media have lavished Hearts with praise.
Tony Bloom, if you talk about pressure in terms of a manager, Tony Bloom came out saying before a ball was kicked, he's obviously invested money in the club through the Jamestown analytics, all that stuff. Before a ball was kicked, saying that he expects Hearts to challenge Rangers. That's as much pressure as you could probably get as a Hearts manager getting into a new job who didn't perform last year.
Billy, just on your point about time, do you feel that Russell Martin should have been given more time then?
At the start I did, but as time went on and the performances weren't getting better on the park, right, okay, it was time for him to go. But at the same time, would the pressure have been the same if he was given time without fan protest up until that point? Would the pressure have been the same? If you look at Aberdeen, they've been given time. It wasn't winning games.
So are the issue the fans then, rather than the board? Is that what you're getting at? Yeah,
that's the biggest Achilles heel at Rangers. The fan support are too. Listen, I love that club, but they're too passionate about the club, and they're near Achilles heel. I think it's a poison chalice. I think Gerrard's come in and he's asked what budget he's got, and the board being the board, who know what they've got to do to bring the club back into great health, okay? I've said, no, we've spent the budget, as you were pointing out earlier, 20 million. We've spent that, we've nothing else. And he's well, no, it's not for me, and he's walked away. Or it could have been the tax thing, we don't know. But I think it could be a poison chalice. And see the fans are need to think about this. Honestly, from a business point of view, would you go and work for a club where the fans are acting the way they were doing? You know what I mean? They're scared to go and play at Ibrox at the minute.
I know, Billy, but do you not think if your club spends 20 million in Scottish football that it should be winning more games of football, whether it's there's a bit of pressure there or not, just in terms of the quality compared to the budgets that other teams work with?
Yeah, hell of a lot in Scottish football. Let's face it, right? Okay, I'll give you that. But at the same time, you can't guarantee yourself. It doesn't.
I think you're looking for a sanitised version of football. Scotland is what it is.
That's not right what you're saying. It's not sanitised. I love Scottish football. See, last season, it got that bone for me. I started watching the Championship. I don't watch an English team. It's only Scottish football I'm interested in.
Anyway,
that's sanitised stuff. We've no got money up here.
You don't want people to shout at the Rangers players, basically. So
no, I don't want them to behave in the way they
on
behave.
On the 2nd of August this year at 5 o'clock, Russell Martin started to talk about Rangers being in self-preservation mode. That was day one of the season, and it went downhill from there after his draw at Motherwell. That's just the way it is here.
Well, thank you to Billy. David is a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. David, what are you thinking to it?
How you doing, all right, lads?
How you doing, David?
All good.
I guess totally disagree with Billy. He's talking about they need to get their financial stuff and before. Listen, what does the fans want? The fans want 3 points every Saturday, Sunday, Thursday. The financial point's obviously there.
When the 49ers took over, Rangers needed a financial input because there was nothing left to give where the previous directors had been concerned. That's why the club was taken over. They have since spent £20 million in a 3 or 4 month period. This is not about finance. This is about how money was spent. This is about the hiring of a manager who was out after 17 games. finance you can take out of the equation. The money has been spent. In some cases, it has been spent unwisely. And that's why the club is where they are tonight.
Totally agree with you. Honestly, I totally agree with you. But listen, I was, and you were the man that said Gerrard didn't want to, he didn't want to come back. Well, he wasn't fit for, if you know what I mean, for the club. I wasn't fit 1 minute wanting Gerrard back near that club.
Why not, David?
Mate, as I say, I was on a couple of weeks ago, and I just think Gerrard's, he done one trophy in 9 years, right? The one it was meant to be won, he done it. Then he went to Aston Villa, boom, rotten. Then he went to Al Etifak. He'd all the money in the world, honestly. He'd all the money in the world. What did he do with them? I was on, as I say, 2 weeks ago. He took them backwards as well. I just think Gerrard would never have. He's not my cup of tea.
What about Kevin Muscat then, David?
I don't know about this guy. I honestly don't know about this guy. I know he played with the Rangers back in the day, but...
What are your reservations?
I watched his team today. I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. And if that's the way we're going to be playing...
Well, Andrew, you watched that game as well.
I'm interested in that because I saw some clips of it, and it was a 4-3 win for Shanghai Port. They are still top of the table, three games to go. I think they were playing the team second bottom of the table. But if you actually look at the Chinese Super League table, they concede a lot of goals. Yeah. Shanghai Port scored a lot of goals, but concede a lot of goals as well.
In terms of the team they were playing against, if they're second bottom, did they sit in behind the ball?
I would say so, yeah. From what I saw, they did sit in quite a bit.
So there's a wee bit of intricacy in terms of trying to create chances.
Mm-hmm.
I think in fairness, you know...
But that will be a concern. Yes, they look as if they're going to win another league title. And that is a huge positive. If you've got a manager who's winning league titles, has won league titles before. But if you're going from one manager in Russell Martin who has been suspect defensively, how will Kevin Muscat's style translate from the Chinese Super League to the Scottish Premiership if they are high scoring but also, you know, expose themselves at the back?
How
as
many
well.
Goals conceded?
I think was it 41 in 27 games, I think, this season.
Kevin Muscat is an unknown quantity in terms of the Scottish Premiership until he gets here and plays matches. When Ange Postecoglou came here, in his first 6 games he won 3 and lost 3, and no one knew exactly what to make of him. He then did not lose any of his next 32 games and won the league. So,
the difference, though, Hugh, was the recruitment that they got in.
You sit near your microphone. What have I told you before?
The players that he got in, though, in terms of the guys that came with him,
made
a huge difference. This is Muscat coming in,
but
Ange, in potentially November with a squad.
Ange was an unknown quantity when he got here and won the league. I'm not saying that's what happened with Kevin Muscat when he gets here, because he's been handed a dodgy start. They're already way behind in the league. But he's an unknown quantity until he gets here and plays or is involved in matches involving Rangers. What he did in Shanghai, what he did in Japan, what he did in Australia, all to his credit because he was successful there. But we'll judge him in Scottish terms when he plays in Scotland.
Well, thank you to David. What about this teaser? Can you name the last 7 Celtic players to wear the number 7 shirt? You have the latest one in Jota.
Scott Sinclair.
No.
Lewis Palmer,
correct. He was the one before Jota.
Chiefchi.
Yes, Nadir Chiefchi was between the 2015 and 2017 season. No.
He did not wear it right.
We will get more answers to that next, and we'll also do this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
It is your chance to win cash with McNair's by simply guessing the weekend results on our Pundit Predictor. Last Friday, Kenny only guessed 1 correct result from the week's championship matches, meaning he lost out on £800. Good news for you, though, because it rolls over and it is now a prize of £900. Simply guess the results in these 3 games and all it needs to be is either home win, draw or away win. Doesn't need to be exact score, just home win, draw or away win. And the three games are Rangers against Dundee United, Kilmarnock against Hearts and Dundee against Celtic. We'll also get Hugh to give his verdict as well. And you can call now for your chance to win £900 with McNair's 0141 951 1025. You have until the end of the ad break to call and we'll pick one of you at random. It is over 18s only and we'll speak to you soon.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
Yes, we have teamed up with McNair's for our Pundit Predictor. We want you to predict the results of three of the weekend's games for your chance to win £900. Those games are Rangers against Dundee United, Kilmarnock against Hearts and Dundee against Celtic. It is going to be Davey on the line that's going to play. Davey, how are you? Got you, Davey?
I hear me there.
Yes, got you loud and clear. How are you normally at predicting? Is that how you describe yourself, Hugh? Hit and miss or more miss than hit?
Do you know, this competition is beginning to give me a different opinion of myself. Because we're up to £900, correct?
Yes.
That means that nine fans have tried and nine fans have failed to predict the outcome of three matches.
But then quite often if we gave you three games to predict,
last week
you would get none of them right. Whereas the fans will sometimes get one or two. Yeah, but quite often you'll get none. Surely.
Listen, no. The object of this exercise is you have to predict three games. Nine fans have tried and nine fans have failed. That means that they are as bad as I am.
So what you're saying is you're dragging them down to your level, is what's happened here.
I respect your opinion, no matter how wrong you may be.
Right, Davey, let's go through them, shall we? It is going to be the first game, Rangers against Dundee United. Are you going for home win, are you going for draw or away win?
I'm going to go Rangers.
Right, so you're going to go for a home win. Kilmarnock against Hearts, that should be a good one, the late kick-off tomorrow.
Again, I'm going to go Hearts because they're on fire and full shoulders are out.
Right, going for Hearts and Dundee against Celtic, the Sunday lunchtime kick-off.
I've got to stick to my team, Celtic.
Okay, well, it is going to be an away win, so we'll go Hugh. What are you fancying?
I agree with Davey on all three counts.
That is really bad news for you, Davey. That does not bode well that Hugh completely agrees with you. But you know what? We will find out on Monday if you win that £900. And if not, and it's bad news for you, it will be a rollover. And next week, another £100 will be added to the pot with McNair's. Could be up to four figures, the prize. Not that Davey will hope so.
Yeah, well, I just agree with Davey. I can see a home win for Rangers. Surely tomorrow they won't drop anything. And Hearts, 3,600 Hearts fans going to Rugby Park. Terrific. Momentum is with them.
It's got a draw written all over it, Hugh.
And Celtic, you know, again, Celtic will know the outcome of the game both at Ibrox and at Rugby Park by the time they start. So they'll know what they have to do to make it a good weekend or a bad one.
And Davey will know as well. He's a Celtic fan. It could be a great day on Sunday for Davey if it's a double and it's a Celtic win. He's got the results the day before and then gets his hand on £900. We will see and we will wait on those results over the weekend. There are lots of good games and they actually kick off tonight, have already kicked off. Dunfermline against Raith Rovers in the Championship. It is just over a minute in. This should be a decent game tonight.
Faith Derby, yeah. Good atmosphere. Couldn't call it right enough though. I think both teams have a bit...
I think Neil Lennon could do, you know... Lenny, wherever Lenny goes, has the reputation going there before him. And people are looking for Neil Lennon to do good things with Dunfermline, and you know that they're way off the pace at the minute in terms of the league table.
Right, let's get some answers on this teaser, shall we? Thanks to Adam in Hamilton. If you want to get your questions in, it is fulltime@clyde1.com to email them. It is, can you name the last seven Celtic players to wear the number seven shirt so far? You have Jota, you have Luis Palma, and you have Nadir Chifchi.
Patrick Roberts.
Patrick Roberts, correct.
You're absolutely flying here.
We get a wee clue.
It goes back to 2010-2011 season is the furthest back. Then the 2012-13 season, there is one from the 2021-22-23 season.
Banovic?
No, first of all, it's not really how you pronounce his name, and it's he didn't wear the number 7.
Okay.
Did Gary Mackay Stephen wear it?
No.
Do we get nationality?
No, too early for that. We can do that later on. 7. We've got time.
Right, you'll be talking to yourself in a minute.
Yeah. No, struggling. Right, we can.
He's giving us nothing here with this one.
No,
it's all right. We've got plenty of time to get into it. I'll give you some hints later on, and give you some potential clues to see what you can get. You two can confirm. Any other games this weekend that you're looking forward to that we haven't touched on yet?
I'm looking at St Mirren Aberdeen. Aberdeen scored 4 goals after a 363 minute wait for a goal. And now they're full of themselves, but they're going to St Mirren. Stephen Robinson, we shall see.
Motherwell Falkirk as well.
A decent game. Just on Aberdeen, this is a big test, isn't it, for these Aberdeen players? Because some people have maybe perceived them to have turned a bit of a corner. There was a strong performance in the Conference League against Shakhtar. They lost that game, but against a quality side. And then that 4-0 win against Dundee. So it's whether they can now back that up this side of the international window.
Yeah, but I think you take huge confidence, obviously, in terms of the performance, albeit by a very poor Dundee team on the day. But they won't be complaining, so they'll be looking to build on that. Obviously, you spoke about the Shakhtar game where there was some good performances in there. Some of the goals last week were fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Jesper Karlsson.
What a goal that was.
I mean, I think everyone knew that he had real talent coming in, and he maybe looked like the type of player that was maybe unattainable for Aberdeen to get, and they managed to get a hold of him. I don't know whether in the early weeks it was a case of, you know, the team was obviously dysfunctional. Maybe was he trying a bit too hard? Was he trying to do too much himself? But then had a really good performance against Shakhtar, even better performance. So that'll be the type of thing that will really excite Aberdeen fans, if that's just a sign of things to come.
The optics, seeing Aberdeen Football Club bottom of the table, means there's a dark cloud hanging over the club until they are no longer bottom of the table. But Paisley, no one gets it easy at Paisley.
Yeah, that will be a good game. You mentioned that they are Motherwell against Falkirk. Just like two teams that are going to want to go out and play football. Should hopefully be an attractive game on the face of things.
Good one for the purists, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously Falkirk, obviously that performance against Rangers. They'll be looking to go and obviously get a win. I think it's only one came against Aberdeen, wasn't it, up at Pittodrie. And Motherwell, obviously the mistake that then led to the Celtic equaliser that really swung the game in Celtic's favour, but there was some really good performances in amongst that as well, so I think that would be a good game.
They've uncovered a terrific coach in Jens Bertel Askew.
And a Rangers fan earlier on in the week that was tipping him for the Rangers job.
I heard them, you know, he will, if he continues in this vein, to get Motherwell playing as well as they have been doing, he will go to a bigger club because of his work at Fir Park. But he's got to continue it. But I think they're good for a win tomorrow.
Anything that stands out to you, Hibs against Livingston?
I think Hibs need to start winning games again. A wee bit of frustration obviously creeping in with the fans. Listen, the Derby game could have went either way. You look at Martin Boyles when it came off the bar, and then ultimately Hearts win it in the best fashion last minute. Fantastic finish obviously from Craig Halkett, but Dave Gray and Hibs will be looking to get a win, especially being at home.
Anything much happening in the opening 6 or 7 minutes between Dunfermline and Raith?
Neil Lennon's taking off his baseball cap. He started with one, but he's taking it off now.
So I'm guessing the answer to that question was no, nothing interesting has happened, if that is the thing that you're bringing
it
up so far.
It hasn't one. Settled down yet. 6 minutes
still,
in the derby.
Still work. Early in this game.
I'd be having them off now. I'd be making substitutions, Scott. What are you talking about? 6 minutes.
Bit of an opening there for Raith, but nothing to be had so far in that game. Right, you still have a bit of work to do on this teaser, so let's work on that. As I said, it is Adam and Hamilton that sent this one in. Can you name the last 7 Celtic players to wear the number 7 shirt so far? You have Jota, you have Luis Palma, you have Patrick Roberts and Nadir Chifchi. 3 more to get. Struggling?
Yeah, can you give us a nationality?
The most recent one should be gettable. Striker.
2021.
It was 2021 to 2023.
Striker.
So he left relatively recently.
Come on, Hugh.
If you say that again.
Did he go...
His initials, his first and second initial are the same letter. That not helping either.
For the nationality. Come
Greek.
Greek, yeah.
Giamakis.
That's why I didn't give a nationality, because it was way too easy.
We're on right. a time limit here.
What about the two furthest back? One is a big name in the grand scheme of sort of football, English football. Was at a top club in England for a while. Went to Celtic late in his career. Winger.
Lundberg.
Yes, Freddie Lundberg. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the one after that is tough. Venezuelan. Had a loan spell at Celtic. 2012-2013 season. Goes by one name. Like Pelé, but in a footballing sense, not like Pelé.
No idea.
No? Not starts yet. With an M? Four-letter name?
No idea.
Miku.
Miku, yes. Started in that. Won against Barcelona, didn't he? You have got the lot. Right, thank you very much to Scott Allen. Thank you to Hugh Keevans. Most importantly, thank you to you at home. The action is just getting started this weekend. The guys will be across the games tomorrow, 2 until 6. Remember to join us then. And it is the GBX up next.